there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Ah, the whole crew's here. My guy Dan Beyer, Jay Stew, and, of course, Iowa Sam. Who informed me he has or looking for tickets for Sparks Fever. No, he doesn't have Sparks Fever. The team's name is the Fever. He doesn't have Sparks Fever, although it's probably a disease coming out of some third world country. Welcome in. It's Doug Gottlieb Show, broadcast live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com. It's the way that tire buying should be. Okay, I have a question for you. This is it does relate to baseball, and I've often said this. I don't believe the baseball playoffs begin until the play-in games have concluded, right? Playoffs, multiple. So, do the NBA playoffs start, or is this the play-in tournament? I don't think you're in the playoffs if you play today. I don't think you're in the playoffs and play today. And the interesting part about it is, in the best case scenario, it's the greatest thing ever for the NBA because regardless of where they finished, the Warriors would go to the playoffs and the Lakers would go to the playoffs, which I still think is the most likely outcome. The most likely outcome of the Western Conference play-in tournament. Right, the Lakers, we discussed this yesterday. Would they, in their heart of hearts, prefer to get the 8 seed to play the Thunder? Yes, but they can't risk it and do gamesmanship and lose tonight. They're not good enough to just show up and beat the Kings or the Warriors in the second game of the play-in. So I think the Lakers win, and then I think the Warriors win this one, then beat the Pelicans, and then everybody is happy. Because in truth, the reason I believe baseball expanded their play-in playoffs, whatever, was what we're seeing play out in the NBA. Because baseball's playoffs have been a ratings disaster when the Yankees and Red Sox are not both involved. And if neither are involved, it's really a mess, like last year. The same is true for the NBA. You may have LeBron fatigue, but you definitely want LeBron in the playoffs, even root against him. You may have Steph and Warrior and Draymond fatigue, but you still want them in the playoffs. So we start to play in tournament. It's not the playoffs. I've pretty much laid out how I think it's going to work out. We'll discuss more as the show rolls on. John Middlecoff's going to join us in 20 minutes. We'll get you ready for the upcoming NFL draft. Yes, Dan Beyer.
Before you move on from the playing games, mm-hmm. for your scenario that plays out, mm-hmm. I'm just... Because we had somebody on last week that, you know, and you pointed out the standings and they said, well, hey, if the season was, if there was no play-in tournament, You wouldn't have Golden State here with an opportunity to make a push, or they wouldn't even be in the bracket. They would be in the 10 seed. Mm-hmm. And I think on paper, in this NBA day and age that we live, that is correct. But I don't think it's an accurate portrayal of how teams now play towards the end of the season. The only team that actually really had urgency was Golden State, because there was at one point where they were battling with the Rockets for to make sure they were in the 10th spot.
Right.
And then they had a game against the Rockets, kicked the crap out of them, and the rest was pretty much history and eliminated any chance that Houston had. And like so many teams, just kind of cruise along and throw in the towel. I just wonder in all of this of, you know, we look at tonight and we say, yeah, it's great for the NBA. They have Steph Curry and LeBron James in these games. If you didn't have the play-in tournament, don't you think the urgency towards the end of the regular season would be much different?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's the other part of it is, wouldn't it be great to see LeBron James and Steph Curry and Zion and all these teams battling it out going down the stretch where the last 2 weeks are worthy, instead of being like, all right, well, we may be the sixth seed, but if we're the seven, at least we're in. We don't want to do anything foolish. We think we can win the seven seed. Because I went and looked back at the play-in the NBA standings since the play-in tournament game, more than half of the time, Doug, there's a sizable gap between the 10th seed and the 11th seed.
Yes.
And I don't think that's great for basketball, because we know certain teams just throw in the towel, but I don't think that there's as much urgency. It wasn't every year. Sometimes it was a game that was a difference, but more often than not, you had a sizable gap because there really wasn't any urgency. And I don't tonight is great and tomorrow will be great, and maybe Thursday and Friday will be good as well. But are we sacrificing the final 2 weeks of the season just so we can have these great nights in the playoffs? I don't know if it's necessarily worth it.
I think the final 2 weeks of the season were actually okay. I think it's the unspoken part which the NBA is trying to address. And the truth is, like with the play-in tournament, with the in-season tournament, it's trying to address, because I actually think your point would be even stronger, and I'll help make it stronger, is it's not just less. Would you have more urgency throughout the year?
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody was doing what we did in college, which is like you don't pay attention to the assignments in the regular part of the, and then all of a sudden the finals coming up. You're like, oh, I got a bone up. You're in every study session. You go and see the professor. And you're like, look, dude, had you just been doing this the whole year, you wouldn't need the final to help change your final grade. You wouldn't have to call the professor afterwards and beg for a little bit of extra credit. Had you just been doing this? So you're right. Right, it only points out, like, if we didn't have this with the Warriors, with the Lakers, would they have spent more time and had more detail and given guys less days off so they wouldn't be in this? But the difference is, I think if you predate the play-in tournament, the ninth spot, there was a gap there oftentimes. And those teams, if they weren't in, they were all tanking. Mm-hmm. They were all tanking. And now you have fewer teams tanking and fewer time to decide you want to tank. So I think that's really still what's at work. Is it better? Modestly. It's the law, like what you're pointing out is the law of unintended consequences. The intended consequence of this whole thing is to make more teams competitive at the end of the year.
Yep.
So it's not just 10, it's 11, 12, 13 think they got a chance. And they haven't gotten there. Baseball has gotten there. Baseball is way more competitive at the back end. I think that part has worked, because you did have the Suns had to put a lot more effort into it, had to play those final couple of games so that he got out of the play-in tournament. So I think it's not we focus on 7 through 10, but 5 and 6 are also important, and then 11 and 12 are kind of important. So are there scenarios that could make this better? Yes, absolutely. Yes. And there's ways in which you can make the in-season tournament more important is if, based upon your results in the in-season tournament, it creates some sort of ongoing score for the rest of the regular season. But it's all telling us what we all know to be true, which is nobody cares about the regular season, and teams are just now going like, all right, now we'll figure it out. And, you know, the Warriors and Lakers seem to get it going a little bit late, and now the Lakers are in this position where they don't really want to be the 7th seed. They want to be the 8, but they can't risk it tonight. So I do think that's kind of interesting.
C's get degrees, right? That's the old
C's for
saying.
Degrees, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and both these teams got C's.
I also think that the timing of where the NBA is at this point, meaning LeBron's age, the trio in Golden State, yes, of where they are, that plays a part into it. If this was in the late 20-teens and we were having this where Golden State is dominant at that time, I think we look at the play-in tournament. I look at the play-in tournament for what we had last year, especially that when the Lakers ended up beating Minnesota, but then you had Oklahoma City win their game, so that was a shocker, and then they have this fired-up matchup against the Timberwolves, and the Timberwolves win it and get momentum. And I looked at that as like a springboard, like, okay, look out for Oklahoma City, and what a springboard it was, because now they're the number one overall seed in the Western Conference. Like, we knew, like, you know, good things were on the horizon. It was like when the Clippers a few years back ended up going for it, and when they didn't have to, or you could have just punted on the season, and instead they went for the 8 seed and it paid off in the long run.
Yeah.
I think there's more value in that than there is in giving a safety net or a lifeline to aging veterans who don't put that much into the regular season.
No, I get it. But the other part to it is, it's a lot like baseball in that play-in game, you use your ace. So you lose your ace for the next series, right? In this, like, I think for the Lakers, one game, let alone two, and remember, these games are played at a much higher level. Does it wear you out for the end of a series, right? Does it wear you down? I don't think it. I mean, obviously, didn't last year with the Lakers mm-hmm. getting in and then making a little bit of a run. But it does increase. Every game increases the risk of injury when you have older players, and it does potentially take time away from you. And for the Warriors, every game leads you closer and closer to the inevitable Draymond Green blow up and thus suspension, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can almost set your watch to it. It's going to happen. It's just a question of when it happens.
I will say this, and I think that it's important tonight to look at this. The play-in memories that I have are...
There have been blowouts, too.
Yes, there have been. But there have also been, and we mentioned Oklahoma City last year, Ja Morant's arrival.
Mm-hmm.
None of it has been, remember what LeBron did in that play-in game? Remember what, like, I don't even remember. The stories that have come from this have been about teams who are trying to make that next level or to become a playoff team instead of just, you know, allowing teams reason to slack off. Hmm. That's all.
Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, I have a question for you. Okay, Sam is Mr. Iowa. In case you didn't know, he's literally Mr. Iowa. He's more Iowa than the Iowa caucuses. Right? Iowa with your caucuses. Anyway, last night Caitlin Clark gets drafted. And the ladies looked amazing. And there was a ton of attention given. And we did do the thing where we pretended like we cared about the other draft picks. Right? But the truth is, so here's my belief in it. Right? There's three kind of three possible Caitlin Clark effects. Does she continue to garner the attention that she has gotten? Does that attention only follow her? Does it follow the entire league? Does it follow all of women's basketball? And look, here's what's missing. We have to recognize is the power of college sports. Right. If she plays for anybody other than Iowa, I'm not sure the response is the same. I'm just not. Because Iowa, I've told you this, Iowa kind of speaks to us, feels down home, feels like regular girls, you know, feels like a program that I had no idea they'd been good, that Lisa Bluter had been this good this long. Look at her record. She's been great. Brings attention. You're like, oh, it's just a solid program. Whereas it feels like whatever your perception is of the SEC, it just feels like, and there's nothing nefarious at work. They're not doing anything illegal. But it just feels like, hey, we're going to load up, go get a famous coach, go get famous players, throw a bunch of money at them, and we're going to win based upon that fame. Like, all of that, the juxtaposition of the two really works. Of course, Angel Reese being black and her being white, I think works. I think the whole story is interesting. But now you take away, like, did anyone really know that the Indiana team was called the Fever until the last couple of days? No. Because there's no, like, historical rivalry or name recognition. So you take away any of the brand recognition other than the WNBA, which you know exists. You don't know anything else about it. No one knows who the coach of the Fever is. No one knows who any of the players of the Fever are. There's no following nationally. Obviously, locally, they've done a good job. They had 10,000 people in the arena to watch her be drafted last night. And the reality is, I'm not sure there's going to be immediate rivals as much as rivals with the elite players in the league. So do we think there's a carryover? Because remember, there's a month between now and then, and now in their first game. Their first game is going to be played when the NBA playoffs are in full swing. Plus, the weather starts to be warm and fewer people start to watch TV. And those built-in rivalries, like, they don't cease to exist, but they're harder to create big games because the games are happening all the time. Jay Stu, what do you think her first year is like? Remember, and I pointed this out, that I know WNBA ratings have been up. Remember, this year they're going to have to take a break mid-season because of the Olympics. And then when she's on the Olympic team, she will not be the best player. She probably will not start, which I don't know what that creates for us in terms of our expectations and our appreciation of her. What do you think happens her first year in the WNBA?
I think there's going to be an initial excitement. And, you know, we're broadcasting. We're broadcasting. We're relating to the common sports fan. I'm not talking about WNBA fans here. I'm talking about the common person, me. There's going to be initial interest. We'll pay attention. We'll talk about it on the show. Then the NBA playoffs will drown it out. At the end of the NBA playoffs, we're all going to check in to see if Caitlin Clark is any good. If she's above average to average, maybe we tune into a couple of her games. And that lasts throughout the season. And I don't think they're a playoff team. And then it'll just go back to being the WNBA. Caitlin Clark was just kind of an average player in this league, and she was a one-off as an Iowa basketball player. That's what this is going to be.
Tim Tebow or Jimmer Fredette? I think she's better than Tebow and better than Fredette. I think she'll be really good. Do I think she'll be the best player in the league? I do not.
Can I just add something? Jimmer Fredette was not an efficient scorer. He shot a lot, and his teams never went far in the NCAA tournament. She's the greatest scorer in the history of NCAA, if you want to count both men and women. She's way more than a Jimmer Fredette. I think that's almost like a disrespect to compare her to Fredette. Yes, they both shoot a lot, but she's just like a way better basketball player than Jimmer Fredette. And he's playing in China. I mean, she's still going to be like one of the premier players in the world.
I think about the last three quarters of the game against South Carolina. I think about that as her WNBA career. She made some shots, but was largely marginalized by bigger and better players.
Sure, but she's still opened with 18 points, and she can adjust her
game.
That's
why I said the last three quarters.
Right. But she still can't, you can't exclude the first quarter where she...
There will also be better players around her.
Yes, absolutely. She's got Boston. They've been loading up high picks.
Don't look back. By the way, Jimmer Fredette's senior year at... BYU, he shot 40% from three. That's not inefficient. 45 from field. That's not inefficient. 90 from the line, and he averaged 29 points a game and 4.5 assists a game.
I just remember him shooting a lot. And
yeah, and I remember her shooting a lot, too.
Yeah.
What were her stats?
Better than his.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay, so what did she shoot from the field?
I believe she shot higher than 45.
Okay.
But again, he never took an average team deep into the NCAA tournament.
Right. She shot 38 from three. That's a percentage point lower.
Okay.
She shot 45 from the field with the exact same percentage he shot. She averaged 31 a game. Averaged 9 assists a game. So she averaged twice the amount of assists.
She has twice
the number of assists.
Right.
If you remember, the reason his team didn't go far in the tournament, do you remember what happened?
No.
His star center, Brandon Davies, got suspended for the team for an honor code violation. He had sex. I know. And with the woman he eventually is married to now and has kids with now.
I think
she was a volleyball player now. So, yes, you're making the argument against him, which is the same argument that Jay Williams made against her, which is kind of ridiculous. I agree with you. Winning and averaging 9 assists a game is amazing what she's been able to do. Okay? But let's not do the, I'm going to talk-ish about Jimmer Fredette, which is not, the. You said he was inefficient. His efficiency numbers are exactly the same as hers. Matter of fact, slightly better from three. So just go like, my bad, I remember it differently.
Right.
She passes but, I mean, more.
Look at
she
her,
won more.
Look at her career at Iowa. She probably has
just
better.
Just say, no. Just start with, my bad. I misremembered it. I didn't remember it. I just gave you the stats. There is no argument. The thing about stats is here's how they work. There is no arguing with them. Okay, I'm listening.
Great.
No.
You beat me by a percentage.
My bad.
You beat me by a percentage point.
No. It's the
I don't
my
care,
bad.
Doug. I'm not going to apologize.
Yeah, I just say to apologize. You're not apologizing. You're admitting that you're wrong.
Sure.
So that's what you do. This is big boy stuff. Go ahead. Hey, my bad. I was wrong.
You said it.
No.
Doug, what do you
Will you
here?
Bump back with Nirvana's No Apologies coming back after
sure.
the next
You don't
break?
Have to apologize. You have to go, my bad, I had it wrong. I remember him being a chucker.
I misremembered.
Yeah, I misremembered.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. If you want to misremember, you're good. It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. So, Dan, what do you think happens? What do you think her first year is like?
I think that it's great, and I think that I don't know how you talked about the break with the Olympics. I don't know how their schedule goes. Once football season takes over, it's over.
Yes. Yep.
There'll be people who watch. Maybe the ratings will be higher than what they were, but she's really filled in an enormous gap of our attention once football ended.
No question. I mean, really, I think it's more an indictment on the men's game than I do on anything else, but it also shows, you know, what an interesting personal interest story this is. I just don't know when that wears out. When is like, I'm good. Like we still don't follow Jessica that fell down a well.
And it was all apologies by Nirvana, as I've been getting feedback from my buddies. So sorry, Sam.
All apologies. Sam, you good? Sam got a little hot there when he got pressed to say my bad. It's not that, what do the kids say nowadays? It's not that deep.
Yeah, I'm good.
Papa Roach did no apologies. Papa Roach.
Papa Roach. Yeah.
Well, that's what it was.
Papa Roach. I can't name a Papa Roach song.
No apologies.
I'm going to apologize for not knowing.
I will apologize as well for not knowing that. That's my for getting it wrong.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, coming to you from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. Maybe you get there. Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com. It's the way tire buying should be. Welcome in, guys. Hope you all had a great weekend. I mean, I had an interesting weekend, right? My daughter's turned 18 years old, which is just, it's so crazy. So I was talking to one of my daughters yesterday, and I was like, you know, 18, it's a pretty cool birthday. She's like, yeah, I can. She went through all the things she can do, you know. She can buy cigs. Not that she smokes cigs. She can vote. She can drink in Mexico, but not here. Anyway, and then the interesting one is, you know, one of my daughters drives, one of them does not. And she's like, hey, now I got to do is take the driving test. I don't have to take the written portion of it. Like, really? Yeah. Age out of that sucker. So they are a happy birthday to both my daughters, Harper and Grace. And yesterday was their birthday. Pretty awesome. Although then you go back through and, you know, her friends encourage me to post funny videos over Harper because she has a lot of them because she's hysterical. And but then you start going through the videos and you're like, man, I literally remember that like it was yesterday. She was seven and she was doing this. The days are long, but the years are quick. Days are long, but you're quick. Let's have some nostalgia for the weekend, shall we? What we loved, what we hated, you can chime in too at Gottlieb Show on Instagram, at Gottlieb Show on Twitter. Let's play the game.
What did you love?
God, I love you.
And what did you hate?
Meet these player haters.
Okay, there. Let's start with Dan Beyer. You're in a loving mood. What'd you love from the weekend?
Surprise, Doug. No surprise, Doug, that the Masters would highlight my love of this weekend. I was locked in, and not only Thursday, but Friday as well, Saturday and Sunday. And I know it didn't live up to everyone's expectations, but I love how the pond on 11 came into play on Sunday with Colin Morikawa and Ludvig Åberg ending up in that pond, because for a while, a lot of players want to play away from it. I liked at one point we had six players tied from the lead in the final round. I know it didn't end how many would have hoped with a lot of drama, but I just love Masters weekend. In fact, I didn't even work yesterday. It's a tradition unlike any other where I'm usually off Masters weekend because I want to soak it all in. That's what I love this weekend.
All right. Jason Stewart, what'd you love of the weekend?
This is what I enjoyed. I didn't see it when it aired, but I watched the Saturday Night Live of Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark was on Saturday Night Live. I'm sure everybody saw it. And she was on the, what is that portion of the news update?
Weekend update.
And I guess Michael Chase had some real negative things to say about women's basketball. A lot of them I share. I think he's very funny about it. And then Caitlin Clark kind of called him out on the mat, and it was a good bit, you know, and it was very scripted, but it was a good bit. But what I loved about it, if you've got that sound of what she said on the show, Sam, that would be great.
No, hold on. I think you're a great basketball player. I mean, I can't play like you do.
Yeah, we know. And obviously, I can't tell jokes like you do.
Thank you for that.
But I did write some jokes, and it would mean a lot to me if you read some of them. Just right over there on the cards.
Well. The Indiana Fever have the first pick in this Monday's draft. A reminder that Indiana Fever is a WNBA team and not what Michael Che gave to dozens of women at Purdue University. You really wrote these yourself?
Yeah.
Netflix just top new show is Ripley, featuring an eerie, unsettling performance by actor Andrew Scott. Critics say it's the hardest thing to watch on Netflix since Michael Che's special Shame the Devil. I hope you have a great first season.
Thanks. I'm sure it will be a big first step for me. But it's just one step for the WNBA. Thanks to all the great players like Cheryl Swoops, Lisa Leslie, Cynthia Cooper, the great Dawn Staley, and my basketball hero, Maya Moore. These are the women that kicked down the door so I could walk inside.
So if you noticed, Caitlin Clark took time out of her comedy bit to thank the players of the past that helped pave the way for her. A couple of those names that she mentioned have taken direct shots at her over the last few weeks. So Caitlin Clark for taking the high road, for having the cachet to be on SNL. I think the first women's or WNBA player to be on SNL. I loved it. I loved the whole thing. So Caitlin Clark, congratulations.
I mean, it's amazing that she was on there, and it didn't seem like a bad fit. Right, it didn't seem forced. Some of the other women's basketball stuff previously seemed forced. It didn't. Frankly, I'm sure SNL benefited greatly from it. All right, Dale, what about you, Sammy?
Well, it's going to be more the same, Caitlin Clark, but I loved the weekend that Caitlin Clark had. All right, fly out to L.A. Friday night, pick up your Wooden Award. You got Jason Sudeikis there in your corner, giving a little speech to the audience. Had all kinds of stars there, coaches. And
are we maxed out on him yet? Because I kind of am.
Yep.
Tell me why.
He's not really a coach, and yet he continues to play the role of, like, the world's most beloved coach.
Listen, I get it. But it's also, he's a big star. He's in your corner. I like it. I think it's great that he's gone to games there at Carver Hawkeye Arena. But anyway, that's just only a little part of her stellar weekend. So yeah, Sudeikis there. You're taking pictures with Zach Edey, who won the Men's Wooden Award. All right, then fly out to New York City. Go on Saturday Night Live. That's something that, you know, like last time someone from Iowa did that, maybe Ashton Kutcher. I don't know. That's a pretty big deal. That was awesome. And then, of course, tonight you have the WNBA draft and you're front and center for that. So I loved Caitlin Clark's weekend. That's what I loved.
Okay. I love the fact that Jackson Holliday got his first hit yesterday. His whole family was there. And I was actually texting Matt, who came on with us on the Dan Patrick Show on Friday. And he's like, yeah, he's got to get one today because we're going home after today, right? He's off on his own. And sure enough, he did get one. But, I mean, I think it was first 13 at-bats, he had 11 strikeouts, like just trying too hard, swinging at everything. And he got one, and it feels like the rest, I don't know, be easy, but he get back to being who he is. He's like our player that we've adopted as a show, and I did feel the struggles and all the strikeouts. And now he's off the schneid. And, oh, yeah, by the way, it helped the Orioles come from behind and get a win on a Sunday. That's what I loved.
And you know, it's one of those things, too, that once you get that first one, then that's the floodgates. I just have a feeling he's going to have a bunch of extra base hits this week. He's just going to get back to just raking the ball like he always has. Like that, in that entire first 13 at-bats, like you said, I think nerves – and also, I think pitchers take it a little bit more personally. Like,
sure.
Oh, you're the number one prospect in baseball. Okay, well, how about this slider piece on the black? But no, I loved watching him get that first hit, and I think he's going to have a big next couple weeks.
All right, we'll see. He'll be in Anaheim next week. Let's get to what we hated from the weekend. We got to start with a resident hater. That's Jason Stewart.
You know what my hate actually is like the, I guess, afterthought of my love. If you guys remember right, I'm asking the listeners to stretch here, but 3 minutes ago, my love was Caitlin Clark and the appearance on SNL, and I played for you what was really cool about it. She took the high road and she, you know, basically paid ode to the players before her. What I didn't appreciate was the reaction of the Caitlin Clark SNL appearance on Twitter. So I don't know what you call this kind of Twitter, SNL Twitter, WNBA Twitter. But just to give you one example, here's one. Big Vanilla Funny writes, yeah, let's celebrate the losers of the national championship game in back-to-back years by double digits. Was Angel Reese on last year? And Camila Cardoso this year? Oh, wait, that's right. They wanted to invite the loser to the White House as well, right? but I'm sure it's not the media. I think the implication here is that Caitlin Clark's stardom is a media creation, and it's not a something that she earned, or but there's no merit to it, or she wasn't like one of the most unique players we've ever seen in the college basketball. There's a lot of haterade. There's a lot of like resentment that I just don't get. I don't get where that's coming from. I never have understood the resentment of Caitlin Clark taking the game to the next level. It's almost like a lot of you people would rather the game not get bigger than to have it get bigger with Caitlin Clark. It's very strange to me, and I can't stand that.
Okay. I agree with you. I mean, it's hysterical. Like, but the problem is that people don't even know what's good for them, right? They don't know what's good for them. Like, look, this helps everybody. Rising tide lifts all ships, and they can't get out of their own way in their competitive nature. It's also a league that has played the victim for a long time too. So it's, you know, no one can take a compliment. They just can't. Dan Beyer, something you hated from the weekend.
This may be a shock to some, but around mid-February, when my team's not in the Super Bowl, I kind of get a little exhausted of football. You know, like when we're a Super Bowl week, you know, at that point, it's like, all right, let's just get the game. Let's get the game here. And I'm kind of ready to have football not in my life for, you know, like it dominates from August all the way to February. And one of the things that I have to look forward to is this 4-week stretch of college basketball and championship week into the NCAA tournament. And then the NCAA tournament ends on a Monday. And what do you know? That's the first day of Masters Week. And now that's over. And it's a sad time. Not that there aren't things that I won't look forward to, like the PGA Championship next month.
It's not football.
Yes. But it's also a break from football, because football is so dominates our lives in the fall. And so now that time, and so now I'm looking ahead to summer, but the worst day of the sporting calendar for me is the day after the Masters, because then I got to wait another whole year for it to come along. So I know they say, smile that it happened, don't cry that it ended, but still difficult on this sort of day.
Okay. What about you there, Sammy?
I am going to co-sign Jason Stewart's hate topic for the week. I'm co-signing on that. I'm not co-signing on what Jill Biden did last year, saying, hey, the loser, come on out too. I don't endorse that. But I will endorse the words of Jason Stewart here. And here's kind of something that was I hated, but it was also amusing. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, Manny Machado hit a home run, former Dodger, hit a home run into the crowd at Dodger Stadium. And a guy who caught the ball, he threw it back. Or did he? He actually had a decoy ball in his pocket and threw it back on the field so he could keep the Machado home run ball, which is, you know, he's going to get a lot of flack for that. But it's funny. It's something I'm like, oh, man, that's lame. But it's also kind of amusing. So,
wait, did you hate it or did you like it?
All right. I kind of liked it.
Did the Dodgers then try to shake him down for the real ball so they could give to the Padres? And hey-o!
Here's a box of chocolates. And that's it. That's all you get. Some peanuts.
The funny thing about that whole thing is the guy says that he has caught more than 20 balls in his life. And as a person who spent 51 years on this planet and has gone to hundreds of Major League Baseball games, I've never once caught a ball at a baseball game.
I haven't either. I haven't attended as many baseball games yet. Now, I will tell you that a good portion of it is strategic planning. And I believe, I could be wrong, Jason, but you have reached the seat snobbery moment of your life. And here's the thing. The better the seats, the least likely you are to get a ball.
I wouldn't say that. I would definitely.
There's a net above you. There's a net in front of you. When was the last time you sat in the bleachers?
No, I haven't in quite some time.
Okay, so there you go.
Remember, Kendrick Lamar sat in the bleachers a couple years ago. If Kendrick Lamar can, I can. I mean,
you're going to fry in the sun, but you have a better chance of catching a meaningful ball.
Well, the sun's not that hot out here in Southern California just yet. We're supposed to have a couple of nice days in the middle of the week. But it's not
it's fine in July. And
not
like the sizzling out there.
Sure, but it's also afternoon night games. Okay, I'll get to what I hated was there were so many games which I were told were important on Sunday, and yet some teams didn't even try on Sunday. I'm talking about the NBA. Right, the NBA was this. Oh my God, biggest Sunday, and there's so many moving parts. I literally needed somebody to explain to me before and during every game what was taking place, and I couldn't get that. There were just too many things working in real time, and so I had to shut it off. I went back to the Masters. I went outside. I did some stuff with my kids because you know, like I told you, it was my daughter's birthday. Then I was like, you know what? Just tell me what happened when it's over. So who plays who? Because I had no concept of what was going on. And then, you know, like we're told these games matter. And then Oklahoma City what'd they have at halftime? They had like 82 at the half. It was like 82-40 at the half or something like that against Dallas. I'm like, wait, are we taking these games seriously or not? And apparently the answer for Oklahoma City was yes. For Dallas was no. So Sunday was really confusing for me. And then now that the dust settles, it's a little bit less confusing. And that's Love and Hate.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel? It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
What up with your Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Ready. Ho! Live from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. We'll help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com. It's the way tire buying should be. Hope you're great. I truly do. I want to get into some Caitlin Clark stuff in a second, but I saw this from Brian Windhorst. NBA scouts don't think Bronny James was able to put his best foot forward this year because USC didn't play him in his position. They say he should play somewhere where he can be the point guard. Like, what are we doing? They say he should play somewhere where he can be the point guard and build up his skills. So, all of these stories are the same. Okay? And we can do this more in the podcast, but again, Buyer, you're a really good guy. If I'm not making sense, if it doesn't all equal out at the end, please feel free. You can call me. I'm not, because things that work out in my brain sometimes don't come out of my mouth. I don't know if anybody else is like that. But if you go back like a year and a half ago, there was a lot of discussion about the NFL and Eric Bieniemy not being hired. And there was this, well, the NFL owners are inherently racist because otherwise, why wouldn't you hire Eric Bieniemy? Right. You even had people that would say, you know, owners want to hire somebody they can take around to their buddies. Like, that's somebody who says that has no idea how the NFL works. Like, there's no boosters, there's no donors, there's no handshaking. It's, I give you a job. Do I want to be able to be around you? Like, sure, but that's not really what's important. Can you get along with the front office? Can you get along with your coaches? Can you guys win football games? That's all that matters. And I've talked to plenty of GMs and presidents, and their whole thing is like, will adding said coach, will any of this help us win games more? And so the job of a GM or a president or an owner when they're trying to find the right coach is, what is going to help us win the most football games, the quickest and for the longest period of time? We want to sustain excellence, right? It's pretty simple. The more games you win, the more everybody is happy. Why? Because, you know, players get bonuses. Okay. Players get bonuses. General managers and coaches get extensions, and when they get extensions, they get to stay living where they live or maybe buy a better house, and they don't have to move because families hate that. People hate moving, hate leaving their job. And assistant coaches, in addition to making more money and being able to stay, they also get opportunities to go get other jobs, which is the same thing as front office. So the only thing that's important in professional sports is winning. And so what we have a group of people, who are in the media, and many of them are on social media as well that aren't in the media, but we have a group of people within media who believe that there's such nefarious intentions from people in power that despite the fact that the number one and really only objective is to win football games, that they go like, yeah, we could win with Eric Bieniemy, but you know, he's black, so let's find a white guy who can do almost as good. It doesn't make any sense, right? If your job is to win, then you get whoever the best man, woman, non-binary. I don't really care. You just win football games. Make sense? Sure. Okay. So then we have this. There's this argument that has popped up. And it really was, I think, Jemele Hill probably triggered it the most because she has the biggest social media following, where she put out a picture of three WNBA players, or somebody else put a picture but then she retweeted or whatever.
She quote tweeted a Sporting News tweet that had the three players that have signature shoe deals with the shoe companies.
Right. And those three are Breanna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, and now Caitlin Clark, who signed a reportedly eight-figure deal to be with Nike. Which, of course, caused Jemele Hill to do the, which I find super disingenuous. What do they all have in common? Obviously, all three are white. So what Jemele Hill would lead you to believe is, for example, Nike, who has, they gave Colin Kaepernick a bunch of money. And I'm not really sure. And they had that cool commercial, but I'm not really sure was there any product Colin Kaepernick that he sold? Like, and they have been at the forefront for women's sports for a long time. These aren't the first shoes they've ever put out in a woman's name. And by the way, Sabrina Ionescu's shoes are the number one seller. Now, some of that is a little bit disingenuous because they use it as their team shoe, which means college teams get them automatically. Like, those are the shoes that everybody gets. And then high school teams, when they order shoes from Nike, those are the ones they get. It's a great shoe. And really, it's the Kyrie Irving shoe that when they had to get rid of Kyrie, these were the next shoes down the pipe, and they just slapped Sabrina's logo on it. And Sabrina, who is a great college player and is a good professional player, I don't know if she's great. Like, I legit have no idea, don't actually care to know. But obviously, she did the three-point shootout with Steph. She has a relationship there. But the fact she went to Oregon, and I'm sure Steph wanted to put her in his shoe at Under Armour, help get her own shoe, and they've killed it. But the the wondering aloud, which is, again, disingenuous. Like, if you think people are racist, then go ahead, say it, because then you'll be made to look as foolish as you really look. But that Nike could make a bunch of money on Dan Byer. How do you say her name? Is it Ajay Wilson? I don't know.
Asia Wilson.
Asia Wilson. I'm sorry.
And,
Asia
Sabrina Wilson. Ionescu. You don't even have to say the I on it.
Sabrina Ionescu. Appreciate it. Asia Wilson, who's apparently a two-time league MVP. I know she's the best player on Vegas, right? And they won the championship. And, you know, people are like, well, why doesn't she have her own shoe? So, again, you're sitting on your phone or on your computer or in front of a microphone, and you're actually saying that Nike, as a publicly traded Fortune 500 company that has been well ahead of everything in terms of all of the different social justice or injustice issues and women in sports, they would sacrifice all that equity because in their heart of hearts, they're racist. They don't want black women to sell their sneakers. That's the presumption that's made, right? Again, this is a company that they get rid of anything that doesn't have, I believe, 12% growth year to year or more. So you're saying that Nike, like, yeah, listen, we could sell a lot of shoes, but let's not do it because she's black. Asia Wilson's black. We don't want to do that. That's what her tweet said. Without saying it, which is, I think, even weaker. And here's now you have Bronny James. And, well, they didn't use him the right way. They didn't develop him as a point guard. Well, they had, first of all, they had they had Isaiah Collier, who is the number one rated prospect in the country, who is a point guard. And, oh, yeah, by the way, so what you're saying is Andy Enfield, rather than trying to win games, he wanted to, keep Bronny down because he didn't see him as a starting point guard. And so that's why he didn't play point. Like, that's what we're actually saying. Like, how does this make sense to anybody? Anybody? Do those things parallel each other? Did I make any sense to you, Byer, or am I too far all over the place?
I think Bronny's situation is just so unique, considering who he is, what his last name is, heck, what his first name is. And even just considering his health situation in tying into the story that you're just talking about. For what the career was at USC or what we expected it to be at USC, I think that also played a big part of it. So I just think that Bronny's situation is just very, very unique.
It is. And I think all these situations, in fact, are unique. But I think the one parallel is, like, we do know that, people play who they think is going to help them win the most. Right? You play somebody who's going to help you win. That's coaching 101. Like, why would Andy Enfield not play him at point guard if he thought he was the best point guard or gave them the best chance to win? And by the way, Bronny did start at point guard several games when Isaiah Collier was out. They didn't win a lot of those games. So it doesn't mean that coaches are always right. It doesn't mean that businesses are always right. It doesn't mean that coaching decisions and who we pick are always right. It's just, where did this decision come from? And generally, I think in business, you make the decision that where you're going to be able to make the most money. And when you're a coach, your only goal is to win the most games. Who gives me the best opportunity to win? JC, what do you think?
I think we should play that. What Don Staley said about Caitlin Clark's impact on the game.
This is good. I like people who get it. I like people who get it. And there's lots of people in our business that don't get it. You know, I saw a cut and I sent it to you, I believe, Jay Stu. I don't know if I sent it to everybody. I saw a clip yesterday. Pablo Torre was on with, who was he on with when he was on, what's his name, Lebatard show, right? Yeah. So take a listen to Pablo Torre talking with Lebatard about the WNBA.
Just marvel truly at, like, when you say WNBA, the first thing you think of is, wow, that ratings monster. Like, we have not seen this, Dad. Like, I had Morgan Murphy on my show on Friday to talk about what it's like, actually, when you've been rooting and watching and consuming and trying to evangelize people on your favorite sport. She's one of the biggest women's basketball fan I know in my life. And she's been trying to convince people for 20 years, this is worth it. And it's finally happening. And there's comedy, right? And not merely you being proven right, but also the dynamic of what happens when everybody starts like gentrifying the thing you love. And so I was a bit of this with Lucy in Iowa, but the way it's happening at scale here with Caitlin Clark and women's basketball is funny because you have to handle this unprecedented problem. A deeply unpopular thing seemingly overnight is now popular. And now you are both vindicated and infuriated that everybody has takes delivered with the confidence of people who've been there for as long as you have. And that is both a sign that you've made it and is also your personal hell. Like a genie cursed you with a wish that they granted, but the footnote of, and by the way, now Stephen A is going to have takes about Caitlin Clark that are going to make you infuriated. Like it's an amazing thing we've just never seen before in American sports.
Well, okay, I would correct him on several levels. Probably the biggest one, though, is I don't believe that there's any metrics that says the sport is suddenly now popular, or that it was. I like that he admits it was unpopular. I probably actually think that's true. I don't like the term unpopular, whereas it just kind of existed and we didn't care about it, but it was on some levels unpopular. I mean, I think that's. But I think it was unpopular on some I think it was unpopular for reasons not having to do with with the actual play. It's the constant need for affirmation that you're somehow good. Right? But that's honestly how WNBA people think. It's like this thing has been awesome all along, and now all of a sudden people are saying we're awesome. And you're supposed to say we're sorry. Here's the truth to it. Here's what Dawn Staley, who is now the head coach of the back-to-back defending national champion South Carolina Gamecocks, said about the Caitlin Clark effect.
I want basketball, women's basketball to grow. And I'm not too shy about saying why it grows. She's made it grow. Over the past 2 years, we need to make sure that we're telling the stories of our entire game. So sometimes you have to go against the masses to really cut down and say what's happening, in real time. Caitlin Clark is the sole reason why viewership has shot through the roof for our game.
Yes. Why is that so hard to admit? Now, can you, as Don proposed, can you tell other stories? Like, once you now have a bigger audience? Of course. Of course you can. I don't know if people will stay tuned. My guess is that they won't. My guess is that this is a bit of a passing phase. And now as she moves on to the pro ranks, it kind of gets lost up. It's a summer sport. It's cut up by the Olympics. There's no built-in rivalries. You don't have the brand names of the team. Like, people can't name the names of the teams. That's actually a big thing. We're all going to see it kind of play out in real time. But at least she's admitting that there's not any other reasons. There's only one reason people are paying attention. It's Caitlin Clark. And instead, you'll get people like Jemele Hill who are like, well, they're only paying it. Basically, they're only paying attention to her because she's white. And that sucks. Do I think the color of her skin plays a factor? Sure. Sure, it's part of the story. I've told you, I think her sexual orientation plays a part of the story. Because the league was seen as a league for lesbians. Okay. And you could say, like, there'll be people listening, like, oh my God, like, where everybody's sitting there nodding their head, like, yeah, okay. Again, it's not a thing to me. I don't care. But it's definitely a different environment, different subculture. It's just different. And some people aren't comfortable with that. Whereas they're super comfortable with Caitlin Clark. She's got straight brown hair. Looks like she's got her hair is just like my daughter's hair. But I will tell you, the WNBA fan out there is more obnoxious than Eagle fans, right? Because Eagle fans know we don't like them, but they don't care. And the Eagles have at least won two Super Bowls here in the last 6-7 years. Whereas WNBA fans are acting like we're all idiots for not celebrating the sport that nobody really paid attention to, nobody really cared about for a long time, and we're supposed to apologize for it. Like, we don't like you, and you care. Anyway. Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I honestly would tell you, I never would have thought in my life we would still be talking about women's basketball at this point in time. But we are. That is the power. That is the power of Caitlin Clark.
I love it.
Sam, you're obviously a big Iowa guy. That's why you're trying to get tickets. You're going to go out. Can you name, how many WNBA team names can you name?
Well, there's only 12. I probably could name 8.
Go.
Las Vegas Aces.
Okay.
LA Champions. Sparks.
Yep.
Let's go Seattle Storm.
Nice.
Okay. Let's go Chicago Sky.
Yeah.
Let's go Connecticut Sun.
Ooh.
Let's go New York Liberty.
Yes, that's 6.
Let's go Indiana Fever.
Yep.
Let's see.
That's it.
Hold up. I'm missing something. I have 7 and I got 5 more. Oh man. Let's see.
How about this? We listen to it. Right. We think about it over the break and got to go.
I got close.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.